Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a bass technique I call Urban Echo, a drop bounce approach for jungle and old school flavored drum and bass, where the bass line feels like it's answering the drums instead of just sitting on top of them. This is advanced stuff, but the idea is simple. We're going to build one bass rack in Ableton Live 12, then use macro controls to reshape the envelope, tone, width, distortion, and movement across the drop. So instead of switching to a totally new sound every 8 bars, we're performing one instrument in different states. That's what gives this style its attitude. In DNB, the drop is not just about being louder. It's about groove architecture. The bass has to leave space for the break, lock with the snare, and still create tension between hits. In jungle and old-school influence tracks, that bounce often comes from short phrases, careful note length, resembled character, and automation that feels musical rather than random. So let's build the rack. Start with a new MIDI track and drop in an instrument rack. Inside that rack, make three chains: sub, mid, res, and echo texture. For the sub chain, keep it clean. Use a simple oscillator sound like a sine or triangle from Operator, Analog, or Waveatable. Don't get fancy here. The sub needs to stay stable. Add a saturator after it. Turn soft clip on, and keep the drive modest. Just a touch of harmonic support is enough. For the mid-res chain, use a detune to oscillator sound. Keep the detune subtle. We're not going for a huge modern wobble here. We want that classic pressure. A bit of movement, a bit of dirt, and enough width to feel alive without swallowing the low end. High pass this chain so it doesn't fight the sub. And if needed, add a little saturator or roar for edge. For the echo texture chain, build a quieter layer that can bloom later. This can be another synth layer or even a sampled bass dab. Put a delay or echo on it, then filter and tame it so it doesn't clutter the mix. This layer is your call and response character. It should be subtle at first, then come forward on fills or phrase endings. Now let's think like performers, not just sound designers. Map your macros to controls that actually change the phrase. Good starting points are sub-level, res width or detune, filter cutoff, drive, echo feedback, release, stereo spread, and texture or bit reduction. This is important. Don't map macros randomly. Map them like arrangement tools. One twist should feel like a new section, a fill, or a lift. We want macro states, not just macro motion. Think in four performance states: dry lock, tight attack, low feedback, narrow image. Answer phrase, slightly longer release, a bit more drive, a small echo bump, lift, wider mids, more filter open, extra harmonic bite. Reset, pull everything back hard before the next phrase. That way the bass behaves like a live dub system, being written by a selector. Next, shape the envelope so the bass bounces instead of washing out. On the sub, keep the attack near zero, with a short to medium decay and a controlled release. On the mid-chain, make the transient a little more percussive. The key is not to let notes smear too much unless you want that on purpose. Then map your release macro so you can move between a tight, stab-like behavior and a slightly longer tail that creates echo pressure. That air gap between notes matters. In jungle and old-school DNB, sometimes the bass feels more powerful because it stops just before the next drum hit. That absence creates tension. The groove breathes. Now write the MIDI phrase with space in mind. Don't fill every offbeat. Start with a simple 8-bar idea. Bars 1 and 2 establish the root and a syncopated answer. Bars 3 and 4 add a pickup into the snare, maybe a small octave jump. Bars 5 and 6 repeat the idea with one variation and one silence. Bars 7 and 8 give you a turnaround, maybe a higher note or a quick slide into the next loop. If you're in a key like F minor, keep the low note choices disciplined. Let the sub sit on roots, fifths, and octaves when needed. Let the mid layer carry the more expressive motion. That's a big part of keeping the low end honest. Now bring in the echo layer, but use it like an accent, not constant wash. Set the delay to a sync division like 1/8. 1/8 dotted, or 1/16 depending on the groove. Keep feedback fairly low most of the time. Filter the return so it doesn't compete with the sub or the hats. Then map the feedback or width to a macro, and only push it on key moments like the end of bar 4, the last hit of bar 8, or a transition point. This is where the Urban Echo name comes from. The bass line answers the break with a short reflection, not a full-on delay cloud. That little bounce can make the drop feel much bigger without adding more notes. At this stage, let's talk about velocity. Velocity can be the hidden performance layer. Map it to filter amount, waveatable position, drive, or envelope depth, so the same MIDI pattern can feel more animated without becoming busy. That's a really good old school move. The notes stay simple, but the tone reacts. A useful trick here is to leave one signature gap in the phrase. Pick one place where the bass always stops short. That gap becomes part of the identity of the groove. Later, when you automate release or echo, that gap becomes the inhale before the answer. Now, for the drop itself, automate the macros like arrangement events. For example, start the drop in a dry lock state. Then, across the first four bars, open the filter a little and maybe increase drive slightly. In the second half, widen the release, bring in a little more echo feedback on a fill, and maybe lengthen the release for just one response note. Then snap it back before the next phrase. Don't over-automate. Strong DNB movement is usually focused. Choose one or two changes per phrase and make them count. Perform automation like a DJ, not like you're painting every corner of the canvas. Now let's get the low end right. Keep the sub mono. If needed, use utility to collapse the width completely on the sub chain. On the mid chain, widen carefully and only above the low mid area. Check mono compatibility regularly. If the bass sounds huge in stereo but disappears or gets weak in mono, it will not hold up on a proper system. Use EQ8 on the bass group to make room. High pass the mid layer properly, cut a little around the low mid cloud if the kick gets masked, and tame any harshness in the upper mids if needed. In DNB, low-end separation is not optional. The kick and sub have to act like one machine. Now for one of the best advanced moves, resample the rack. Once the phrase feels good, render 4 or 8 bars to audio. Chop it into phrases, reverse a few tails, add tiny fades, and keep the timing natural. You can layer, add audio under the MIDI version or replace certain sections entirely. This is where the old-school character starts to show up, because the resample captures all those tiny changes you made to drive, echo, and release during playback. If you want a bit more grime, add light redux. Just enough downsampling or bit reduction to roughen the edge. Don't destroy the sound. The point is to give it that slightly imperfect, machine behaving differently every pass feel. Next, listen to the bass against the drums, not on its own. Put your drum group and bass group side by side. Use a chopped break or a classic jungle style break edit and tune the bass around it. Shorten the notes if they blur the kick transient. Move some notes a tiny bit earlier or later if the groove needs more push or drag. Sidechain compression can help, but don't rely on it too much. In this style, bounce usually comes from note placement and envelope design first, compression second. If you want, create a few versions of the same rack. Version A can be tight and dry. Version B can be wider with more echo. Version C can be resampled and dirtier. Version D can be stripped back for the second half of the drop or a breakdown lead-in. That gives you a variation pack you can reuse in future tracks. Save the rack with clear macro labels so you're not rebuilding the whole thing every time. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't widen the sub. Don't drown the bass in delay feedback. Don't let the release fill up the low mids too much, and don't try to automate every control at once. Also, don't mistake saturation for bounce. Saturation helps, but groove comes from rhythm, envelope, and contrast. Here's a strong practice move. Set your project around 170 to 174 BPM. Make an 8-bar bass clip in a minor key, maybe F minor or G minor. Build the 3-chain rack, map at least 4 macros, sub-level, cutoff, drive, and echo feedback. Program bars 1 through 4 to be tight, then make bars 5 through 8 introduce one wider, echoed response note. Automate cutoff and feedback only in the last 2 bars. Then resample the whole thing to audio and check it in mono. If you can hear a first half and a second half in the drop without even looking at the arrangement, you've nailed the concept. So the big takeaway is this. Build your bass as a macro-driven performance rack. Keep the sub disciplined. Let the mids handle the attitude, and use selective echo and release changes to make the bass answer the break. In drum and bass, the best bounce is rhythmic, controlled, and mix-aware. That's Urban Echo. Now go build the rack, ride those macros like a live set, and make the drop speak.